We're in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll just read down here to, and pick up where we left off last time. And so Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 1, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Verse 3, "Though through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Follow the Lord's way in the houses you are building. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person." Verse number 9, "The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint," as we saw last time, "or slacken in the day of adversity or tightness, thy strength is small." Now, what we are and our faith and all those things, our strength that we may claim in good times, it's really tested when things get tough, when things get difficult, when things get tight. "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death," those that are ready to be slain, "if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" We don't live in a day where we have a physical distress and things that are going on where we're faced often with rescuing people. But on the spiritual side of life, we do, don't we? Folks, from the human side and the human standpoint, folks, natural men, natural man and people in this world are on their way to hell unless their souls are saved. And we are to be a witness unto those that the Lord's put in our lives. May the Lord help us in that. Will you fail? Yes, we do. I fail. We fail. I hope you don't fail. I fail. We ask the Lord to forgive us, and then ask the Lord to strengthen us, and then move on again. Okay? And so, may we not just draw up within, but may we tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. And then in verse number 13, this is where we left off last time. "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste." I don't know if you like honey or not, but I like honey. And I like chewing on that honeycomb. That's even better. And then there, I like even better than that, than eating my own honey, is to either eat my son-in-law's honey or my father-in-law's honey. That makes it even sweeter for some reason, okay? I'll go up there, I'll see Cecil this week, Lord willing. And what he'll do is he'll take the honey and he'll hide it. And he'll tell Mary not to get it out. Well, maybe that's a stretch. But if Mary makes biscuits, I'll be looking for Cecil to get out the honey. And then I'll really, really enjoy it. But honey's good if you like that. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be into thy soul." The knowledge of the wise way of the Lord. It'll be sweet like that honey. It'll be good unto us. "When thou hast found it, then shall there be a reward." And we've seen about this principle, this talk about a reward, or the last, or the end, or the future, or the posterity, that which is ahead. There is that which is out there before us. He says, when we find this knowledge of wisdom, and it's sweet to our soul, then there shall be a reward, there that future, and thy expectation or cord or hope shall not be cut off, because we're following in the way of the Lord, what the Lord's given us, and there'll be a blessing. It may not look like a blessing in this life, but obedience to the Lord will always be a blessing. We saw Proverbs 23, the previous chapter, verses 17 and 18, right there close. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." May we not let up. For surely there is an end. There's a reward. There's an end to all this. Moses had respect under the recompense of reward, the Scripture says. The Lord commanded it, yes, and he's to be obeyed. But that's just not the end of it. With the Lord, there's a blessing beyond. And he goes on to say here in Proverbs 23, verse 18, for surely there is an end. And he says, if you don't envy sinners, but you rather be in the fear of the Lord, thine expectation shall not be cut off. And many different ways that we can consider about that. The wickedness of a father can mess up the life of the children. That's just an excellent one, and what this is talking about here. What do we want? Do we want a blessing for those after us, for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? Or do we just want to live for self and hurt them and hamper them and set them, from the human standpoint, set them at odds because of what we do? Verse number 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And here we see, we've seen this word mischief in the English, and we saw it in verse number 2, for their heart, the evil men that it's talking about in verse 1. Their heart studieth destruction, their lips talk of mischief. And then in verse number 8, we saw there, he that deviseth, schemeth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. Forms of the word. They're all different words in the Hebrew. They come through as similar in the English, but they are all talking about the same thing. There in verse number 16, he says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall, I think, ultimately into mischief. This word here is talking about bad, just plain old bad, or evil, distress, harm, many different ways that it can be used. How about this synonym? Wretchedness. That'll be the end of the wicked and the ones that follow the wicked way. But how can it be? A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Why? Because of his power? Because of his ability? No, because of his Lord. His Lord will do wonderful and marvelous things for him. In particular, I don't know what the Lord will do for you. I don't know what the Lord will do for me. But if we honor him, we follow him, we seek to obey him, he will do what's good for us. Can we count on that? We can count on it that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So we know he'll always do us good. Rejoice not, verse 17, when thy enemy falleth. Oh, let us listen to these words. You know, this old man is so much about vengeance. It's just vengeance is natural. Vengeance is just natural, and what's natural is no good. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. We've got to work on that. Brother Jim has got to work on this. Because listen, the Lord may see that, or he will see it, won't he? Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Our attitude, the conclusion presently that I've come to, is that our attitude towards any that don't follow the way of the Lord and that follow after things that are not right, that are wicked, that are sinful, that are not according to the Spirit and will and work of the Lord, that are not according to the fruit of the Spirit, folks that don't pursue those things, we, in a right way, need to pity them, pray for them. Now, we've got to be careful we don't do it self-righteously. There's another point that we can trip up, is that we can be proud of ourselves pitying them. We can esteem ourselves kind of like that man that was there, the two that went to pray that the Lord told about. Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men. A matter of fact, like this publican here. You know, we got to be careful with that. And we got to be careful with it and ask the Lord to help us to have a right attitude, a right way before Him in our hearts. Those that would seek our harm, those that would look to take a stab at us, those that would look to do something just to incite us. We don't need to, when the Lord takes care of us, when the Lord peradventure would give them trouble because of them giving us trouble, may our hearts be right before the Lord in it. May the Lord help us. You know, Luke chapter 18, I happen to think of this in considering this passage. Look over here at this guarantee of the Lord. Luke 18. A couple things are intermingled with this that we learn from this passage. But we're going to hone in on one verse here in consideration of this in Proverbs 24. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's the subject of this passage, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within him, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. What he just said in verse number 5. So that's the subject there is prayer. And here the Lord adds this as an admonition to us, a shoring up of this fact to us. Listen to what it says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Well, there's the Lord, right? The Lord is here. And then there are his elect, his people, right? And is he concerned about them? Is he concerned about us? Indeed he is. And what's it say? Which cry day and night unto him. Somebody does us wrong. We need to take that to the Lord. You know what? A brother said it here recently and was talking to him, and it is so. You know, if we're praying for somebody, it's hard to be angry at them. If we're praying for them, that the Lord will bless them with good things from the Lord, it's hard to be evil-minded towards them and angry towards them. And it's a truth. That's the truth. If we pray to the Lord, seek the Lord's face, that the Lord would help them the way He's helped us, and the way the Lord can help us all, then it's hard to have a bad heart and mind towards them. You know, naturally, what I want to do is say, Lord, sick them. that's no good, is it? But Lord help, you see what they've done, Lord. So we've got the Lord here, we've got His elect, and the cry of the elect day and night unto the Lord. And so remember that about prayer. Don't be weary about praying. I've prayed for so many years for that. Keep on praying. Unless the Lord shows you that it should be otherwise, keep on praying for what you desire that's good and according to the Word of God and that. Which cry to Him day and night. So there's this crying to the Lord, though He bear long with them. Maybe the Lord is going to wait. Maybe the Lord's going to answer another way. Maybe the Lord's up to something else that's better. I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. You know what? The Lord's elect are going to be avenged speedily. Isn't that what He said? Straight from the mouth of Jesus. We will be avenged speedily. Now, in this life, in this old man, in this flesh, we don't think so. But we can count on it. The Lord says, it's going to be speedily. It's going to be. And so, back in Proverbs 24, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. The Lord will take care of His people and He will avenge us speedily. We naturally don't think that it can be good enough vengeance if it doesn't happen soon. But see, the Lord doesn't live in time. You and I live in time. And the Lord will reckon it very well. Yeah, when it's time, the Lord can bring that thing to remembrance, and then He can bring the condemnation upon the one for that and whatever it is. But wouldn't it be better for us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and pray the Lord to be merciful to Him? That's the spirit and work of the Lord, isn't it? And the way of the Lord, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus did? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, that's what I'm talking about. When I say about pity, I'm not talking about a condescension that we're more spiritual and they just don't get it. I say that way. Father, they don't seem like they get it. But it's not a condescension that we've arrived and they have not. But Lord, you see what's been done. You see how that hurts me. Lord, be merciful to them and help them to see what's right. And if I'm wrong, help me to see what's right. I could be wrong too, couldn't I? Yeah. And if the Lord is dealing with an enemy, don't be glad. But rather pray for them and pity them. Proverbs 25, we're coming up on this chapter, verse 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Verse 22 is true. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. I'm heaping coals of fire upon his head. I'm heaping coals of fire. You think that gets very far? No, not when we're thinking about it like that. We need to do well and desire good for them. The Lord will take care of the coals, how deep, how hot, and all that, and the Lord will take care of our reward. May we be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I'm thinking I'm heaping coals, have another drink. Have another biscuit. Heaping coals, heaping coals. That's what's going on. It doesn't work that way, does it? May the Lord help us in that. My biggest problem is me. I don't know about you. Yeah, Brother Jim, you are my biggest problem. No. But my biggest problem is me. This guy on the inside, man, he's a loser. But the Lord will help us. And the thing is, the Lord has He tells us the truth about these things, and He will help us. Verse number 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Don't envy those guys. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. It's kind of along the same line of what we saw in just some verses previous, isn't it? But worded a different way. You know, and that's the Lord. The wicked, verse number 16, will fall into mischief. Well, maybe I don't understand that, but I understand about a candle being put out. You know, isn't the Lord wise? Isn't He good? He tells us the same things in a different way, and it helps us. Don't fret because of evil men. Oh, we live in a time that I am so tempted to fret because of evil men, aren't you? I mean, it's just madness what's being pursued in our country. Madness. It seems like without waxing political, every move that's being made is just a compromise to our nation one way or another. Why? Because God's not involved. They've not sought the Lord's face. And they say that we're not there are those that say we're not a Christian nation. Never took a history class. Well, on a modern day history class, probably say just that. But you know, when I took history in high school, and what you just read, we are a nation founded on principles of the Bible and principles of the Lord, and the Lord blessed our nation for it. I tell you what, there's no other God like Jehovah God that could bless a nation. All the other ones are dead. Right? Yeah, because they're a figment of man's imagination and the work of Satan. Anyway, here I've went and done fretted. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Remember Ecclesiastes 5. I've read this to you before. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. Good cross-reference to put here. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. R.G. Lee preached it. There'll be payday someday. The Lord will take care of it. The Lord will take care of it now, or He'll take care of it then. Verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. In regards to this fearing the Lord and fearing the King, let us remember what the Lord says about government. Oh, and until they tell us to disobey the Lord, we must obey. Because remember what the Scripture says. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak or a cover of maliciousness, of badness or depravity, that's what that word maliciousness means, but as the servants of God. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Even when we would say that He doesn't deserve it. Romans chapter 13. He is ordained of the Lord. And we need to remember that. I need to remember that. And it's not saying to agree with the position or the way, but it is saying to submit and obey as much as we can until what they indicate or direct us to do goes against what the Word of the Lord says. In Romans chapter 13, remember this. Verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. I think it said no, right? There's not any power that exists that is not ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of the Lord. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And remember this, when rulers do become a terror to good works, okay, he says here that the design is that they're not to be a terror to good works. But it may be, and there have been times, that rulers have become a terror to good works. Remember what we read earlier. The Lord's watching in heaven. The Lord's taking an account. See, every man that the Lord takes and raises up to any position, that man is accountable unto God for their position. And so the Lord will reckon it. And the Lord will avenge His people. When a ruler, even a ruler, becomes a terror unto good works, when it happens, and we know that it is, history tells us that, and some of the things going on in our country, why is it that a couple that is married should be penalized in things relative to the government and taxation and such as that? Marriage is ordained of God and a blessing. It should not be worked against by men. And the Lord will reckon that. He'll take care of it for those that do. He will. Just as an example. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Yeah, he's a minister of the Lord. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they that are God's ministers They are God's ministers attending continually on this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so let us remember that in this part here in verse 21 of chapter 24 of Proverbs, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Okay, let's continue on. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Fear the Lord, fear the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Don't meddle. Don't engage one that's given to change. Listen, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, those that are given to change. And who knoweth the ruin of them both? Instability. Indecisiveness. We all face times we don't know what to do in some things. But we need to find the stability that is in the Lord and that is in His Word. We don't need to be up and down, like a wave tossed to and fro, as I believe Peter indicates in one of his epistles. We don't need to be that way. We need to be solid in what the Lord says. What God says, we'll believe it, we'll take it to heart, and live by it in our lives, in our home, and in our church. Follow that. Be a good witness of it. Remember what it says in James. I hope that this is a familiar passage with you. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay? No qualifiers. Need wisdom? Ask God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I like that. And he doesn't say, what are you doing here, kid? I want some wisdom. Get out of here. Beat it. The Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't upbraid. So, you wisdom, get out of here. He doesn't do that. He giveth to all liberally. He upbraideth not. And it says, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Need to ask. Need to ask believing. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Want the wisdom of the Lord, and from the standpoint of just asking for it, but not willing to pursue it. You know, here's where the wisdom of the Lord's at. That's it. And somehow God can take this book and bring it to living life. I marvel at how He does it, but He does it. He takes the contents of this book and asking Him for wisdom and help, and He somehow answers the things, the needs, the questions that we have somehow, some way. He does that. It's a miracle indeed, isn't it? But He does. He said, but if we want it, but then we don't believe it, and we say, well, I believe the Lord can do it, and I know the Lord can't do it. I want the Lord to do it. Well, the Lord's not doing it. Well, wait a minute. We gotta remember it's His time frame, not our time frame. Let us not be unstable. Let us not be double-minded, but let us have our hearts and minds set on the Lord. Listen, those that are given to change, their calamity comes up quick. Calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? In Hebrews 11:6, you know this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, that is the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Got to believe that God's there. Believe that He is. He's there. And you got to believe that He will give. He will live up to His promise. Got to believe it. And trust Him in it. And then bring that real thing alive to Him. Listen to this. Verse 23. These things also belong to the wise, as Solomon writes. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. That belongs to the wise. He that saith to the wicked, here's an example, thou art righteous, Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him, until the nations get so corrupt. I mean, this is the design of the Lord and the way it is to be in society. How upside down it is when evil is called good and good is called evil. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, the wicked being rebuked, and a good blessing shall come upon them. They're in a quandary in Sweden because some years ago, I'm thinking like maybe 15 years ago, they instituted that a parent could not spank their child. Spank or spat or touch their child. The present word is that parents did not know how to be able to handle their children in their own home. The children are running the house. The children determine when to go to bed, if they want to do their homework, what they're going to eat, where they're going to go, because the parents cannot corral those kids. Craziness, isn't it? Every man shall kiss, verse number 26, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer, no false witness. These things belong to the wise. How about this? Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. There's some order there in there. Work, provide, build. We've got a generation that lives today that wants everything that their parents worked 30, 40 years to get, without working. That's upside down, and it ends up in a mess. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, verse 28, and deceive not with thy lips. Don't bear false witness against our neighbor. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Remember verses 17 and 18. Don't get back. Don't seek vengeance of self. As it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Wrath is what anger turns into when it starts getting legs on it. Give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, and he will avenge his people speedily. May we remember that. Verse number 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. His field, where he makes his living, where he sows his crops, and his vineyard, where he grows his grapes. And this slothful man, Solomon says, he went by this man's field and his vineyard, and he saw this slothful man is void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What's that mean? Well, he's not going to get any production out of his grapes. He's not going to be able to get anything, any food for the winter from his field. He's not going to be able to keep the cattle out of those places when that tender plant is growing up because the wall's broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You know, this is very much along the line of what I'd mentioned some chapters ago about look on and people in life. Don't look down your nose at them, but look on and people in life and compare that and what they do and compare that to the Word of God and learn. That's what Solomon just said. There I see a man that's not following what the Lord said and working, providing, diligence, being a good steward. Wonder what'll happen. And so Solomon walks by, and he walks by, and he walks by. And he sees what? I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. This one that's so slothful won't take care of that which is given to him to be a provision for him and his family, to grow what he needs to feed his family. Poverty comes. And the thing is, is it comes steady and it comes like a steamroller. I always found this verse interesting. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. What's that mean? One that's moving forward. And when you're traveling on a long trip, of course we drive and everything, but you kind of think about it from the standpoint of walking. If you're going to walk and you're going to cover a certain amount of ground, you got to pace yourself, don't you? Be steady. Then you take some breaks, but you be steady. And by being steady, you get there. Well, when we don't take care of what we've got, when we're slothful and you don't use the daytime to work, when we are not good stewards of what the Lord's given us, poverty comes just like one that's traveling. And it may take a long time to get there, but it's coming. And it's also like what? And thy want. What? Want? Want for needs. Want for things above needs. But that want comes on, the poverty comes on like one that traveleth, just steady, coming along. And our want for what we need or what we would desire beyond that comes like an armed man. And a man that's armed, he can't be beat when he's out armed, when he's out armed us. He cannot be beat. He cannot be changed. He cannot be thwarted. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little somber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. How are you and I? How are you and I in being stewards of what the Lord's given us? In life, in health, in daylight, in time, in the stuff of life? Do we use it up and expect somebody else to provide it? That's the mentality we've got going on in our country now. There's just this obligatory, I'm owed this. Now the Lord says we're to work. And we're to work while it's daytime. We're to work while we have life. Because if we don't use what we're given well, and we don't work, poverty's going to come. And it's going to be strong. And our want won't be able to be filled. Young people, you get a hold of this. All things being equal, you got a lot of work in front of you. Just plan on it. It's just the way life is. The way the Lord's designed it. You know, work is a blessing from the Lord. Our work is hindered and thwarted because of the curse, but there was work before sin. And it's a blessing from the Lord. And we need to see that, and we need to know that the Scripture says if one won't work, they shouldn't eat. That's what God says in it. May the Lord help us in these things. Chapter 25 is going to be interesting. I encourage you maybe to read ahead and take a look at that. The words that of Solomon that were copied out by Hezekiah and some of his men. And pithy maxims in there, and so we'll look forward to taking a look at those. If you're here without your soul being saved, you need Jesus Christ. He's the one that is salvation. Salvation's in a man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God that came down from heaven. John chapter 3 says, no man's made a way to heaven but the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He came down. He made a way back to the Father. He came the wonder and marvel of it, that Jesus, the Son of God, would come down and become a man and live for 30 years and then have that three-year ministry, and then at the end of that, 33 years, give his life on the cross of Calvary for sinners. What an amazing thing. But he did. Because we can't know the way ourselves. We can't know how to be forgiven ourselves. We don't have anything to pay for our sin. We don't even know where God is naturally. But God came down and became a sacrifice for sinners' sins. Not only that, not only did he pay the price, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead and lives forevermore. He's so powerful that he just had to die once and prove it by being in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then took his life back again. Oh, what power! As he told his church there, it's a wonderful thing. He says, even though, in a paraphrase, in Brother Jim's paraphrase, even though I'm dead, I'm still in control. Don't be worried. Even though I'll be dead, I'm still in control. And after 3 days and three nights, he took his life back again and lives forevermore. And not only does he give forgiveness of sins, but he gives to those that he saves eternal life. Everlasting life. It's free. Nothing you can pay. Nothing the Lord would take that we have. Receiving, believing, trusting him. Repent before God that you're guilty and that you need him. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.